Nidal in the proximity. Ta similarly.
Nay,
my.
Pidjate
is change. Cheta.
Consciousness.
Chakrapani.
Chakrapani.
Of Lord Vishnu as a disc in his hand. Yajitraya.
Yajitraya.
Simply by the will.
Simply by the will.
Translation. O Brahmanas, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically toward the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus, I have no independence. Purport. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted toward Krishna is natural, and therefore the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical example of such attractions are found in Vrindavan, where everyone and everything is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, the friends like Sridhama, Sudhama, and the other cowherd boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, beasts, cows, and calves are attracted. The fruits and flowers in the gardens are attracted. The waves of the Yamuna are attracted. And the land, sky, trees, plants, animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. Just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna, and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and material worlds. Hiranyakashipu, who is in the material world, was attracted by women and money, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, being in his natural position, was attracted by Krishna. In replying to Hiranyakashipu's question about why Prahlad Maharaj had a deviant view, Prahlad said that his view was not deviant, for the natural position of everyone is to be attracted by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu found this view deviant, Prahlad said, because of being unnaturally unattractive. Hiranyakashipu therefore needed purification. As soon as one is purified of material contamination, he is again attracted by Krishna. Sarvapati Vinir Muktam Tatpalatvaina Nirmalam. In the material world, everyone is contaminated by the dirt of sense gratification and is acting according to different designations, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as a beast, sometimes as a demigod or a tree. One must be cleansed of all these designations. Then one will be naturally attracted to Krishna. The bhakti process purifies the enemy of all unnatural attractions. When one is purified, he is attracted by Krishna and begins to serve Krishna instead of serving Maya. This is his natural position. A devotee is attracted by Krishna, whereas a non-devotee, being contaminated by the dirt of material enjoyment, is not. This is confirmed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. Yesham tantakatam papam chananam punyakarmanam te tantamoha niyamukta bhajante mam jitavata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. One must be free from all the sinful dirt of material existence. Everyone in this material world is contaminated by material desire. Unless one is free from all material desire, anya vilashita shinyam, one cannot be attracted by Krishna. Translation again. O O Brahmanas, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically toward the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus, I have no independence. Om Agyanatiranam Dasya Agyanjanashvakaya Chakshunulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Samudhananda Shri Advaita Gadha Srivatsari Goro Rattavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prahlad Maharaj says, I have no independence. That's because he's voluntarily choosing to use is independence in the natural way. You have a choice in existence which influence you'll come under. It's like you have a choice which mad rushing river you'll jump into. Will you jump into the river of material existence? You choose to do that, you're swept away by Tribhunamayi. And so, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, you have no independence in material nature. You simply imagine you do. And if you choose to jump into the mad ecstatic river of love of Krishna, you'll also be swept away. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is talking about. What can I do? I'm in that river of ecstatic love, swept away toward Krishna. What do you want out of me? And anyway, this is the natural thing. So you choose how you want to be bewildered. This is the deep meaning of independence. You choose how you want to be bewildered. Do you want to be bewildered by the material energy, or do you want to be bewildered by Madana Mohan, Krishna, who bewilders everyone, even Cupid? Take your pick. That's your independence. And once you choose, then you're swept away. It's natural to be attracted to Krishna. Therefore, we have to wonder, why am I not feeling that attraction to the extent that I want? That should be the question. Not whether Krishna exists or whether I should do devotional service. No, your inquiry should be, why do I not feel like serving Krishna all the time? What is the question in my mind? In this way, you can properly understand your eternal constitutional position. Purification plays a very important role in bhakti, only to bring you to your original natural state. We're not purification fanatics just for the sake of purification. We are into purification because it leads to uncovering our natural tendency for attraction. Therefore, we stress purification. And as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, yesham jantagatam papam, only those who have made an antagatam papa, complete stop to sinful activity, have any chance of engaging in devotional service with determination. Yes, bhakti requires determination. It's not just something you do because you got a little exhausted in the material world, say, so pick it out, give this a try. Although that's to your credit, and even if you go away, you'll never lose that credit. Still, bhakti is about real love, and real love requires determination. Stick-to-itness, to go the distance. So Krishna says, only those who have put a stop to sinful activity and who are free from illusion, te tandamoha nirmukta, only they can go on with determination in my service. It's always helpful to do a checkup on yourself and see how your attraction to Krishna is increasing. If you're following the process of bhakti yoga properly, you'll feel that the glories of the Lord even in spite of difficult moments, which must be there in this world. You should always do a check on yourself. How is my attraction for the Holy Name? How is my attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam? How is my attraction for devotional service with the devotees? How am I attracted to pleasing my spiritual master? In this way, you can see that your natural constitutional position is reappearing again. It's all about attraction. Sometimes devotional service executed in the material world is described as a battle. In that sense, it's a battle of attraction. The illusory energy is trying to attract you. Come back to my clutches. Why strain yourself trying to be a devotee? How many years are you going to go on like this, pretending that you are a saint? Just come back to Kali Yuga where you feel more comfortable. Come back home where you belong, back to passion and ignorance. The old familiar activities you've done, birth after birth, in so many species of life. Come on back to that. Be normal. Well, as those of you who were at the meditation room yesterday saw in those pictures, you saw that's normal life. You saw the look in the faces. Emptiness. Fear, even terror and grief, sadness. That Maya doesn't let you see until you're too much in her clutches and then it's too late. Very nice example Srila Prabhupada gave was how when you stand at the shore of the ocean, it looks so nice looking at the waves. Any of you ever done that? Just watch the waves. It looks nice when you're standing on the shore. But if you ever would go deep into the ocean, into those waves, you'd be in a very difficult situation. So what looks nice from afar is different once you get into it. Well, that is a good way to remember about the attractions of Maya. Because sometimes, as we've often explained, the Vishnu energy knocks very heavily on your door. And you may become very fearful and tremble. Oh, no. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? You have to know how to fight back. Now, if we're going to properly train devotees, we have to teach them how to fight back against Maya. Just like in a fight, someone punches you. Well, in order to defend yourself, you have to punch back. So, how do you punch back against Maya? By increasing your dedication to hearing and chanting. That's the quickest way to send Maya running. By increasing your attachment for the Holy Name, hearing the glories of the Lord, then you increase your immunization. It's a very simple yet extraordinarily powerful method because it increases the presence of the Supreme Personality. And that way you'll see Krishna. As we've been explaining the past few days, everyone's seeing Krishna. Who is not seeing Krishna? Even the non-devotees, they see Krishna as death. They don't recognize him, but still they're seeing him. Similarly, there's nothing but Krishna all around us. We simply need training to understand what's right in front of our eyes. Then it is a fact there's different levels of intensity in seeing Krishna. So that's what you're dealing with when you read the different descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially about Lord Chaitanya. Nevertheless, you can't say that even as a new devotee you're not seeing Krishna. Even a new devotee sees Krishna. Simply, your love has to increase so that what you see becomes more and more intense. The example the acharyas give is the mango. Whether you're a new devotee or an old devotee, and I don't mean simply in terms of time, I mean in terms of spiritual maturity. You can still be a new devotee after 30 years in that you haven't really pushed deeper into Krishna consciousness in this humble service mood. You haven't learned how to deal with devotees. You haven't taken the order of Guru Paramparaj, your life and soul. So, When there's real advancement in Krishna consciousness, you see more and more intensely Krishna everywhere. Just like when you see something that belongs to your beloved, you remember the beloved. Similarly, when you see Krishna's energy, you remember Krishna. And that intensity increases more and more until Yam Sham Sundara Chinchaguna Surupamari Purishamadami. As soon as you see Krishna's energy, you see Sham Sundar standing there with his threefold bending form, playing the flute, peacock feather in his head. This is not mythology. Lord Brahma is giving you the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's there in Brahma Samhita. One chapter, chapter 5, is available out of 100 chapters. There you're getting a testimony. This is what God looks like. You can also see Krishna through the Shastra. So we have so many ways of seeing Krishna. And as we explained yesterday, the whole point of religion is to train your senses to experience God. That is the program here. Not just religious belief, reciting a catechism, I believe this, I believe that. We believe in reincarnation. We believe in the little blue boy. Our program is to train the senses how to see God. See God by hearing. See God by tasting. See God by smelling. Through all the senses. Therefore, it's a most attractive program. And it is our natural situation. So yesterday we were stressing, please know what your occupation is. You want to see God. You want to experience God. Now, you cannot even see your own soul. So what makes you think that you can see the Supreme Soul without training? But Krishna will train you to see all these things. He gives you the way how to see Him. You take that straight on, as we said yesterday. If Krishna says, I'm the taste of water, when you're drinking water, you understand, I'm seeing Krishna, I'm tasting Krishna, I'm seeing Krishna through the taste of water. When I asked yesterday, how many of you do that, only two persons raised their hand. Just see, you're missing out on such an easy way to see Krishna. Because you're thinking, it's just poetry in Bhagavad Gita, it's all allegorical, metaphorical. Now, since yesterday, have more of you been when you drank water yesterday? Everyone here drinks water, yes? Okay, so you all started doing that? This is Krishna. I'm seeing Krishna through the taste. More are doing that? Okay. That's the program for seeing God as Krishna instructs. Otherwise, it's impersonalism. Never mind what the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. I'll see Krishna any way I want to. No. You want to see the person, you take the person's instruction, how to see him. Now, we were discussing Dhruva Maharaj yesterday, who had a motivated program for wanting to see God. We discussed how he wanted a kingdom better than anyone in his family line had, even his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. He has quite an illustrious family line, Dhruva Maharaj. His father is Uttanapad. Uttanapada's father is Manu. Manu's father is Brahma. So this five-year-old Dhruva had the ambition, I've got to have better than anyone. And also, I've got to get revenge against my stepmother, and I've got to put my brother in his place. How to do it? So he approached Narada Muni. His mother gave him the clue. Go out to the forest. That's what the great sages do. He went to the forest to find Vishnu. And Narada Muni came to him, impressed by his determination. And Narada Muni gave him instructions. You chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then you'll see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Dhruva Maharaj did that. And later he lamented. After he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lamented. What a fool. I was chanting the Vishnu mantra. I was meditating in Madhuvan in Vrindavan. I met Narada Muni and got instruction from him. all the most auspicious things simply to fulfill these foolish mundane desires. What a fool am I? But, as we also discussed yesterday, Krishna affectionately said, Padramte, all good fortune to you. I don't take it seriously, your little childish ambitions. I accepted your determination. And we discussed yesterday how this shows the deep personal attitude of the Supreme Lord. We are aware of our own personal attitudes, but because of impersonal contamination, we don't understand that Krishna's personal attitudes are infinitely much deeper than our own. So we have fear in engaging in the service of the Lord. I'm a person. I have so many attitudes, so many feelings. What about Krishna, though? What's going to happen to me if I engage in the service of this unknown Krishna? The more you know about Krishna, the more you'll trust Krishna, that he is a much more expert person than anyone. He knows how to have loving affairs. That confidence you'll get by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, let's go to the 11th canto, to the end of the Uddhava Gita. We're going to hear the last instructions that Krishna gives before departing from the mundane vision of this world. There are two types of lila the Lord has, prakata lila and aprakata lila, manifest and unmanifest. The Lord never disappears, just like the sun never disappears. Simply, sometimes the Lord is out of sight from our eyes, just like sometimes the sun goes behind the clouds. But the sun is always there. Similarly, Krishna is always there. Separation between the Lord and his parts and parcels, living enemies, is actually impossible. But in the material life, that illusion of separation is managed by Maya. And in the height of spiritual life, Krishna praying, the illusion of separation from Krishna is managed by Yoga Maya to increase the ecstasy of the love. In either case, whether you're in the material world or the spiritual world, separation from Krishna is impossible. If you can understand the significance of that basic point, you'll get to the root of everything you need to know. Separation from Krishna is impossible. What has happened that I think is possible? You can't be separated from Krishna in Maya. You can't be separated from Krishna in the spiritual world. Never at any time, at any place, are you separated from Krishna. That's why Shukadeva Goswami, explaining about material life in the second canon of the Bhagavatam, says, Swapna, it's a dream that you're away from Krishna. You're never really away from Krishna. It's impossible. Now, the Lord is about to depart from this world, and he's giving his last instructions. They're going to Uddhava in the famous Uddhava Gita. And as you hear these instructions, please start to feel Uddhava's anxieties. This is coming to an end. The Lord has spoken so many chapters to him of extraordinary instructions, and Uddhava's starting to feel the wrap-up is happening. We're getting to the end. That means Krishna's going to disappear. So he's feeling this fear. But at the same time, the Lord's words are giving him solace. So please understand the emotional background, what's going on. Nothing in Srimad Bhagavatam is just dry theory and abstract philosophical knowledge. Everything is saturated with pure emotion. So please remember that. So these are Krishna's last words before he disappears from this world in terms of ordinary vision. Of course, if you cling to Krishna's instructions, you're seeing Krishna. This process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. In this verse, Krishna's meaning that if you're truly intelligent, You won't take to this process for material gains. You'll simply take to this process to attain me. And in doing that, you'll make use of the temporary to achieve the eternal. This is the most intelligent thing to do in the material world. Not to reject the temporary, but to use it to get to the eternal. Getting to the eternal means getting to Krishna. So please bear that in mind. Then the Lord says, thus I have related to you, both in brief and in detail, a complete survey of the science of the Absolute Truth. Even for the demigods, this science is very difficult to comprehend. Remember, this is echoing what the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita. Name Vidu Surana Prabhavana Maharshaya Aham Adya Devana Maharshinam Tasarvasa. Who knows me? The devas, the demigods don't know me. The rishis, the great sages don't know me. Why? For one thing, in every case, I was here before them. I'm their source. So how can they know me when I did not come into being after they came into being? I was here before them. Therefore, how can they understand me? Now you might say, well, what chance do we have then of understanding Krishna? If you listen directly to Krishna, you can understand Krishna even in Kali Yuga. Especially since Lord Chaitanya has made understanding Krishna so easily by giving us the process to see Krishna as his holy name. I was very happy to see in the morning here the devotees sitting and chanting Hare Krishna with attention. And you're seeing Krishna. That's your morning process for seeing God. You take it very seriously. Mangalarti, Tulsi Puja have ended. Now it's time for seeing Krishna as the Hare Krishna mantra. Here's Radha, here's Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then your chanting will be very fruitful when Krishna wants. Because like any person, Krishna has his ways of doing things. All right. I have repeatedly spoken this knowledge to you with clear reasoning. Anyone who properly understands it will become free from all doubts and attain liberation. No devotee wants doubts. Just like in a personal relationship between two individuals, doubts are uncomfortable. Does she really care for me? Am I really number one? Noticed a dip in the affection over the years. No one likes those kind of doubts. Everyone just wants the pure rapture of personal exchange. No doubts. Just float in the ocean of reciprocation. Krishna knows that better than anyone. Therefore, he's saying, I'm going to teach you how you'll become free from all doubts. So the love will be better. Even in the mundane sense, have you ever tried conventionally loving someone, as ordinary people use the word, and then you have doubts in that person, and that person has doubts in you? Have you ever tried it? It's really, you know, it actually comes in austerity. I was telling devotees in Auckland about this man I met on the airplane. Did I tell you about that here? He was a big construction architect in charge of an international firm in Australia. He had just built a metro system, a subway in Delhi in India. And he was flying to Auckland to be in charge of a big task of installing a sewer system in Auckland. So, because he had spent so much time in India, he immediately recognized when he sat down next to me. And he started talking this, talking that. I had my whole trip planned on the flight from Melbourne to Auckland. Okay, now I can catch up on my editing work. 3.5 hours, no disturbance. Okay. And then he sits next to me. Oh. And starts talking and giving his whole life story. So, what can I do with it? But he's explaining to me how his first marriage, it ended some years ago. So I asked him, did you think it was going to end when you married? No. Everything was great. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, my wife became interested in someone else. I said, is that all? Because there's always two sides to the story. And I said, simply she became interested in someone else. What about you? Well, I have to admit, I just was kind of not so much into it anymore. And I just kind of, wasn't so considerate. Looking back, I recognize that. And actually, she told me. She said, yes, there's someone else who's caught my interest, but all you have to do is say you love me, and I'll drop it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't tell her I loved her, so that was the end of it. So it's very hard to have a relationship when there's doubt. And then, the person starts hiding their motives. I don't want you to really see that I don't care as much for you as I used to, and this and that, and it becomes a whole game. And Krishna doesn't want this kind of stuff. Therefore, he's teaching you how to love him without reservation. So, next text. Anyone who fixes his attention on these clear answers to your questions will attain to the eternal confidential goal of the Vedas, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Mamekam, they'll come to me only, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Next, one who liberally disseminates this knowledge among my devotees is the bestower of the absolute truth, and to him I give my very own self. We're getting very personal now here. Of course, when Krishna talks about the eternal confidential goal of Vedas, the Supreme Absolute Truth, he's talking about himself. But now it's getting, taking the wraps off and making things even more obvious, because this is coming to the end of his appearance in this world. I'll give my very own self to the one who preaches my glories to others. Natchatasmamanusheshu, kashchan me priyakritama. There's no one more dear, there'll never be anyone more dear to me than one who does that. So here Krishna is echoing that verse in Bhagavad Gita. Next text. He who loudly recites the supreme knowledge, which is the most lucid and purifying, becomes purified day by day. For he reveals me to others with the lamp of transcendental knowledge. Anyone who regularly listens to this knowledge with faith and attention, all the while engaging in my pure devotional service, will never become bound by the reactions of material work. We explained how people do not think about reactions. They simply think, well, what do I feel like? What are my sentiments? What are my priorities? What are my own personal principles? So this man I sat next to the airplane, he has some air in here. He was telling me, okay, the first marriage ended. And then, when I was 49, I met my childhood sweetheart, who I hadn't seen since I was 13. She was the girl I was always pining after in the beginning of my teenage years. I could never attain her. Then, 35 years later, I met her again. Wow. So this time, got it together. We married, and so I said, okay, so you're happy now? No. Didn't turn out the way I expected. Nah, it's just not there. I'm wanting like a full emotional affair, and she's just kind of cool and detached. I think it's just the way her parents raised her. She's just not like, I'm really into romance. I'm really into gushing. And she's just kind of, a bit laid back about it all. I'm just not doing it. I mean, you don't understand my background. Then he really freaked me out. Let me tell you, my parents, they were so lovey-dovey all the time. That's the way I was raised. They were always hugging and missing and batting, and that's just what I expect. Let me tell you one amazing thing. extraordinary thing. Oh, this is so great. You're going to love to hear this. When my father was 83 and my mother was 82, I happened to walk into their room once, and they were, wow, this is great, this is fantastic, there's love even at that age. I was so wonderful, don't you understand that? 83, 82, I gave me such hope. So that's what I want for my wife. And looked at him and said, listen, when you land in office, you get on the phone and call your wife and tell her you met a Hare Krishna and he told her that she's right. You're too much. He said, what? She's right? I said, yeah, in a limited sense, she's right. Ultimately, you both are wrong because none of you know the ultimate goal of life. But in a limited sense, she's right. This is too much. You want her to be like your parents who in their early 80s were still carrying on with passions and affairs. That's your idea of the ultimate reality. And you're putting this burden on her. As the plane was about to land in Auckland, he reached into his pocket, handed me his business card. Can you send me one of those books you guys have? everyone is so hung up on this love thing. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Lust and love. All right, let's continue with Krishna's instructions, how to give you the real thing. Without reactions. This man was not concerned with reactions. That's the deluding potency of material life. You do things and just say, well, that's just the way I feel. Just, it'll have to work out for the best, you know. We all just try in our own way, rationalize like that. But the laws of nature do not rationalize. That is the problem. Okay. Next verse. My dear friend Uddhava, have you now completely understood this transcendental knowledge? Are the confusion and lamentation that arose in your mind now dispelled? See, this is personalism. Just like Krishna asked Arjuna the same thing. And what was Arjuna's reply? Nashta moha sudhirnapta. And then, Krishe vachanam tava. My illusions dispelled, I will act according to your word. So, Krishna is also asking Uddhava, my dear friend, my dear Sakha, is everything understood, properly assimilated? Mm-hmm. Now you're saying, how could Uddhava be an illusion? Confusion, lamentation, how could those things arise in Uddhava's mind? Uddhava, just like Arjuna, is an eternally liberated soul. But, just as happened to Arjuna, the Lord placed Uddhava in bewilderment and lamentation so that the Uddhava Gita could be spoken, just like what happened so Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. So, you can see here that Krishna does things again and again for our benefit. He comes at you this way, he comes at you that way, through this avatar, through this incarnation, through this devotee. He's basically telling Uddhava a more intricate version of what he explained to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. And then, of course, he gives the same warning as they are in Bhagavad Gita in text 30, the next text. You should not share this instruction with anyone who is hypocritical, atheistic, or dishonest, or with anyone who will not listen faithfully, who is not a devotee, or who is simply not humble. So what do you think? You just shut down our preaching. But what is the devotee's understanding of this? The followers of Lord Chaitanya know that, yes, we will follow Krishna's instruction. We will not share Krishna with anyone who's like that. So, what do? How do we preach? We have to make them devotees. Then we can share everything with them. Krishna says, don't talk about me to those who are avaktas, non-devotees. Okay, let's make them into devotees. Then we can talk to them about Krishna. That's how the devotees see things, especially the followers of Lord Chaitanya. The next verse. This knowledge should be taught to one who is free from these bad qualities, who is dedicated to the welfare of the brahmanas, and who is kindly disposed, saintly, and pure. And if common workers and women are found to have devotion for the Supreme Lord, they are also to be accepted as qualified hearers. So how many of you, before coming to Krishna consciousness, were free from bad qualities, like being a hypocrite, atheistic, dishonest? You were not humble, you were not a devotee, and you didn't listen faithfully. How many of you weren't like that? Still, you came to Krishna consciousness because the devotees of Lord Chaitanya understood Krishna's intention. We'll make you qualified to hear about Krishna. He won't leave you in the state of disqualification. Now, in that text, 31, the Lord says, and if common workers and women are found to have devotion with the Supreme Lord, they are also to be accepted as qualified hearers. Now, is this a slam to King's women? Why are they being singled out here? Anyone here thinking like that? Did anyone here think like that before? Why is Krishna always picking on the women? No, but you didn't see the whole verse. He says, and if common workers and women. What does it mean to be a common worker? Does it mean you're like a construction worker or a tradesperson? Actually, in New Zealand, they're crying out for more tradespersons. They say they don't have enough. They're going around the world even bringing Eastern Europeans in because they don't have enough workers. No one wants to do construction work, carpentry, especially plumbing. So in the newspaper, there was a statistical presentation that actually a plumber, once he's a master plumber, he'll make as much as a lawyer. Unless the lawyer is one of these super lawyers, the plumber will make just as much without having to pay for that education that a lawyer has to pay for. Even if you're not a plumber or a carpenter, still, in the age of Kali, you're considered to be a common worker. That's the version of the Shastra. So there's no reason for the men to stick out their chest. Yeah, I got those men. No. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is born as a common worker. That kind of mentality. You may be a university professor, you may be Prime Minister, President, no, Shudra, you have the mentality of a common worker. So, no one is exempted in Kali Yuga. So, the women don't have to feel that Krishna is singling them out. And if women are found to have devotion, it's also saying if common workers are found to have devotion, that means everyone in Kali Yuga, they're also accepted as qualified hearers. Next verse. When an inquisitive person comes to understand this knowledge, he has nothing further to know. After all, one who has drunk the most palatable nectar cannot remain thirsty. This is Krishna enticing you. Once you taste what I'm going to give you, how can you be thirsty? That's true in one sense, but then in another sense, even though you're tasting love of Krishna, you're still thirsty, but it's not material thirst. You're simultaneously satisfied and thirsty for more. This is beyond the material plane. On the material plane, you feel thirst, you drink. On the spiritual plane, you feel thirst, you drink. You're still thirsty, though, even though you're satisfied. You just can't get enough Krishna. On the material plane, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you take some water, you take some food, your thirst and hunger temporarily goes away. But on the spiritual plane, you're thirsty, you're hungry for Krishna, you take some Krishna consciousness, you're satisfied, but you still want more. This is inconceivable. How you can be satisfied and simultaneously want more and more. Next verse. Through analytical knowledge, ritualistic work, mystic yoga, mundane business, and political rule, people seek to advance religiosity. of my devotee. Whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, you will very easily find within me. That's what Dhruva Maharaj found out. His mundane goals were easily given to him by Krishna. But then, Dhruva didn't want it. He was ashamed. He was lamenting. What a fool I am. I can't believe I wanted these things. Meanwhile, Krishna's reassuring him. Bhadram te, all good fortunate. You don't worry. I know you're just a kid with these silly desires. Not important. This is how Krishna acts in relationship. Next verse. A person who gives up all fruit of activities and offers himself entirely unto me, eagerly desiring to render service unto me, achieves liberation from birth and death, and is promoted to the status of sharing my own opulence. What does it mean, sharing my own opulence? This can mean the opulence of Vaikuntha, but on a deeper level, it refers to the opulence of being an eternal associate of the Lord in Goloka. So, according to your taste, you'll see, as you advance in spiritual life, your spiritual tastes develop. Then we're getting to the end. Krishna's given the ultimate hint. You'll be promoted to the status of sharing my own opulence. You will become my eternal associate in my leelas. That's the truth. And now, what is Uddhava's emotional reaction? Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing these words spoken by Lord Krishna, and having thus been shown the entire path of yoga, Uddhava folded his hands to offer obeisances, but his throat choked up with love, and his eyes overflowed with tears, so he could say nothing. Steadying his mind, which had become overwhelmed with love, Uddhava felt extremely grateful to Lord Krishna, the greatest hero of the Yadu dynasty. My dear King Prajit, Uddhava bowed down to touch the Lord's lotus feet with his head, and then spoke with folded hands. This is the effect of becoming Krishna conscious. You feel grateful. Gratitude is such an important emotion in bhakti. We've discussed this before. We're always eager to show our gratitude to devotees for anything they've done to increase the flood of love of God. Just like last night, we were expressing our gratitude to those who had labored on the meditation room project. And there's so many things you can be grateful for devotees that they've done, so many things they've done you can be grateful for. It's one of the great joys of life, the treasure that you are always looking for ways to appreciate devotees and be grateful. Express your gratitude. That's the fun. You want to have fun with each other, this is how to do it. Appreciation, gratitude. That's what makes the flood of love of Godhead have all its different swells and waves, the nectarian waves crashing this way and that way. It's when the Vaishnavas express gratitude and appreciation for each other. So, Krishna's about to leave. We don't want to go any further. Actually, Vaishnavas don't like to discuss emotional leela, the disappearance of the Lord. So we'll leave it at this point. Now, we've been discussing the determination to see God. But there's a higher level than that. You see, in our presentation of Krishna consciousness, following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, we do everything simultaneously. We present neophyte platform with advanced platform. We present training you to be a human being with training you in pure bhakti. It's all going on at once. Never been done before. So, yes, you should have determination to see Krishna. You should want to see Krishna. But then there's a higher platform. You don't care whether you see Krishna or not. You're going to go on serving him. Who's ready for that? But that is true bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya in Shikshastaka, you have that. Pancha Lila, yes, chapter 20. We say this verse so often. Many temples, they recite the Shivshastra in the morning. But do you really think about what you're saying? Ashvishtava pararatam panashtumam adarshanan manahatam karotuva yatatatava viditatu lambato matpranatas tusa eva napara. This is an intimate translation of the verse because it's at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee after all, and he can do whatever he likes, but he is still none other than the worshipable Lord of my heart. Lord Chaitanya is speaking this verse in the mood of Srimati Radharani. I am a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of tranquil happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him. Or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. Next. My dear friend, just hear the decision of my mind. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions, whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. So this is the attitude of the dearest devotee of Krishna. Real bhakti means, why should I disturb Krishna about my wanting to see him? He's busy. I'm just a little thing. If he would reveal himself to me, that would be very nice. I wouldn't complain. But why should I make demands upon the Lord? Let me just go on with my service. This is real bhakti. Let me just go on serving Krishna. He may let me see him, he may not. That's his business. He's the Lord of my life no matter what he does. Sounds impossible, huh? People will criticize you. How are you working so hard to see this person? And then you say, it doesn't matter whether you see that person or not, you'll just go on working. But just to show you the perfection of that emotion, Lord Chaitanya has appeared to give it reality for you, to show you this indeed is the highest level, pure devotional service. Let me just go on serving Krishna. He can do whatever he likes. Sure, I would love to see Krishna, but if not, I'll never give up my service. He may be visible to me, he may not. He may send me prosperity, he may send me material reversals, it doesn't matter. That is real bhakti. Especially for older devotees who have been faithful to the process of bhakti for years, Krishna wants to give you this. And you shouldn't complain when Krishna starts to give that to you. Wait a minute. I've been a devotee for 25, 30 years. What's Krishna doing this to me for? Try to understand how Krishna wants to give you the best. That is purely motivated service. You're not even demanding to see Krishna. You just want a chance to serve him. This is the true version of Krishna consciousness. This is true yoga. Yuga Maharaj had a demand. I want to see God because I want this, and this. Therefore, he lamented after he saw the Supreme Lord. But what Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating, he's demonstrating the mood of Krishna's dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani. Let Krishna do whatever he likes. He's always my prananath, the Lord of my life. This is when bhakti becomes ecstatic, when there's no reservation. Now, to illustrate this point, let's talk about Chaitanya Leela, a devotee named Mukunda Dutt. He could sing in such a beautiful voice. He would melt hearts by his singing. So he was very popular amongst the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, who all loved kirtan, of course. different devotees of Lord Chaitanya had different abilities. Some were expert cooks, some were expert chanters of slokas, like Ramananda Roy could chant slokas personally for Lord Chaitanya. Shiv Damodar was expert in singing private verses. Mukundadas was expert public kirtan. They had some devotees who were expert in dancing. In this way, all the talents were utilized for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure and pure devotion. So Mukundadas was expert in singing. So, to understand this, let's go back a little bit further to Advaita Acharya, who had a personal secretary named Kamalananda or Kamalakanta Vishwas. He was a confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and he served as Advaita Acharya's secretary. So, Kamalakanta Vishwas, when he went to Jagannath Puri, he sent a note to Prataparudra Maharaj, the king. The note said, "You should understand Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." But then, he also wrote in the note, "By the way, Advaita Acharya owes you 300 rupees. Can you please liquidate the debt?" Somehow, the note reached Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya read it and expressed unhappiness, although his Chandramukha, his moonlight face, moonlit face was still shining. Said, "The first part of this note is very good. Advaita Acharya is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very good. But the second part, that he has a debt that should be liquidated, this is nonsense. How can you say the Supreme Personality of Godhead owes anyone money? You're saying God is a poor man? This is like Mayavad philosophy, which says that the poor people are God. You should worship them." "Tell Mukundadas I don't want to see him again." Mukundadas was crying bitterly, "Oh, never to see Lord Chaitanya again." He said this about Kamalakanta Vishwas. "Never tell Kamalakanta Vishwas never to see me again." You haven't got to Mukundadas yet. Okay, yeah, that's great. He told Kamalakanta Vishwas, never see me again. So, naturally, Kamalakanta Vishwas was very disturbed. Advaita Acharya heard about this. And Advaita Acharya, "What great fortune Kamalakanta Vishwas has. I could not get such good fortune. Lord Chaitanya has never treated me like this. I purposely tried to provoke Lord Chaitanya. I went around speaking Mayavad philosophy just to make the Lord angry at me, because Mahaprabhu is always treating me with respect, considering me to be his senior. So I spoke Mayavad philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya simply came and beat me. He never banished me from his presence. Look at the mercy that Kamalakanta Vishwas is getting. I'm envious. This is inconceivable." And he explained to Kamalakanta, "You should take anything that comes from the Lord as good fortune, whether it's so-called happiness or so-called distress, so-called prosperity, so-called reversal. Whatever the Lord does personally for you, you relish." That's the order of Advaita Acharya. So, Advaita Acharya is explaining, "I never got such fortune. I never got such a benediction. You have been chastised by Lord Chaitanya in such an extraordinary way. How did you get such good fortune?" Advaita Acharya then went to complain to Lord Chaitanya. I've got a problem here. You have given this man such mercy that you haven't given to me. What is the story? Why is this happening? How is this devotee getting such mercy that you said he could never see you again?" And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he was very satisfied. And and then he told the great desire. Tell Kamalakanta Vishwas he can come see me immediately. The great desire said, what? Now I'm cheated again. This man has cheated me again. First he gets more mercy by such a punishment of being told never to see you again, and then you personally call him to you. This is just too much. Why is he getting all the mercy, double mercy now? Oh, Lord Chaitanya heard that. He was also very satisfied. So, Kaviraj Goswami's conclusion is, it's very difficult to understand these conversations between the Dvija Chara and Lord Chaitanya. So, that leads to the situation of Mukundata. He, just like a Dvija Chara, he started hanging out on the wrong side of town. That means hanging out with impersonalists. He was a bit loose with his association. Now, bear in mind, he's an eternal associate of the Lord, but Lord Chaitanya is very instructive. He can be soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt. So Lord Chaitanya heard that Mukundadat is hanging out on the wrong side of town, bad association, hanging out with speculators and persons who do not understand that devotional service is a supreme activity. So, Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything until this event happened. He was revealing his glory, his opulences to everyone, and asking everyone, tell me what you want, tell me what you want, you can have it. So devotees were saying, I want this relative to be a devotee who's not a devotee. They all had benedictions they wanted for someone else to be Krishna conscious. And then the devotees realized, everyone's coming forward to say what they want. Everyone's getting the benediction their heart desires. What about Mukundadat? Mahaprabhu, you haven't called Mukundadat. Lord Chaitanya said, I never want to see him. He is such a cheater. When he hangs out with us, he talks bhakti. Then he hangs out with the others, and he talks about everything except devotional service. In this way, he's actually beating me with an iron rod. When he's amongst us, he's soft as a rose. Say, bhakti ki jai. Then he hangs out with these others, speculators, karma kandis, minimizers of devotional service. I know what he's doing. I never want to see him again. The devotees beg, Mahaprabhu, he's such an expert kirtan singer. He melts our hearts. He's a devotee through and through. Lord Chaitanya wouldn't hear any of it. I don't want to see him ever again. So the devotees conveyed that message to Mukundadat, who began to cry bitterly, never to see Lord Chaitanya again. Then Mukundadat said, well, please, he told the devotees, please just ask Lord Chaitanya, will it ever be possible for me to see him? Ever? And so the devotees went and asked. You said you never want to see him. Will it ever be possible that he can see you again? Lord Chaitanya said, after 10 million births, you better tell him that. The devotees went back and told him that. Lord Chaitanya said, you can see me. You can see him again after 10 million births. What was Mukundadat's reaction? He began to dance with ecstasy. I've obtained, I've got the Lord. He was dancing in an ecstatic fit. 10 million births, and I'll see Lord Chaitanya again. This is pure devotion. You don't like that, huh? He was dancing in such a state of ecstasy, and the word got to Lord Chaitanya about his reaction. So Lord Chaitanya sent a message to the devotees. Oh, I'm so pleased by his response. Tell him he can see me right now. Mukundadat couldn't even hear that. He was just dancing and ecstasy. 10 million births later, I'll see him. So Lord Chaitanya had to send more devotees. Tell him to come now. He can see me now. Well, this shows you something about bhakti. Don't put the hands on the Lord. And the Dvaita Charya's instructions to Kamalakanta Vishwas are very important. The so-called distress is Krishna's personal favor to bring the devotee back home, back to God. to stress this. It comes in different ways to different devotees. Whatever it is, take it that Krishna is arranging for your purification to go back to Godhead. That is the instruction of Advaita Acharya, the solemn instruction. And then think about the example of Mukunda Dutt, who was so happy to know he would see Lord Caitanya after 10 million births. So you can't really compare that attitude with Dhruva Maharaj's attitude. So therefore, even in the Shastra, there are different levels of devotion. And of course, the pinnacle of devotion is Krishna's dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani. Because of her attitude, she is Vrindavani Shri, the queen of Vrindavan. So tomorrow we'll talk about lust and love in the spiritual and material worlds. And as always, Krishna has something to say about that. Both about the so-called love in the material world and the pure love in the spiritual world. So we'll deal with that tomorrow. All right, any questions? Were you there yesterday when we talked about Kalidas? He used to throw dice and chant Hare Krishna. These are devotees who we do not imitate. There's no question of Mukunda Das forgetting Lord Chaitanya. There was no question of Advaita Acharya forgetting Lord Chaitanya. But this is Leela pastimes for the pleasure of the Lord. You can't imitate. You can just relish hearing. We don't want to catch you rolling dice and chanting Hare Krishna. I heard this from Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're all the same thing. They're all the processes of devotional service. But just to emphasize the preeminence of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting, the Shastra mentions like that. Because hearing and chanting is the basis of all the other processes of devotion. Without that, nothing works in this day and age. Therefore, we accompany everything with kirtan, whether it's deity worship, anything we do, there's always kirtan. So that stress is there. Because hearing and chanting are the most important of the nine processes of devotional service. Still, it's a fact. If you're typing about Krishna on your computer, you're chanting. But don't artificially come to that level. You artificially come to that level by saying, since I'm typing and it's Krishna, I don't have to chant my japa. And don't laugh, it's been done before. In the past, and still goes on today, there are persons who have managemental expertise that's valuable for Krishna consciousness, but they're not attached to chanting Hare Krishna. And they'll just defend themselves that, well, look, you know, I'm just, chanting is just not my thing. You know, it's just the way it is, you know. But show me any managemental situation, I'm your man, I'm right there. I remember I was talking about this to one leader in the mid-70s who didn't survive. And I was saying, you know, we noticed that you don't seem to chant. There are telltale symptoms. First of all, we didn't see him. And secondly, you can tell somebody who doesn't chant when they start talking about chanting. So he'd give announcements about the Sankirtan devotees, and he would start saying things like, all right, the marathon here. So all the devotees, you know, many of them just, they chant, and you know, you don't want to chant japas, you know, says you're so fired up, smoke comes out of your face. And also, and also, we don't see him chanting, so maybe he's not chanting, we don't see him. So I went, you know, and I actually talked to him. You might say I was naive or whatever. But I just thought that's the way you do it, you're straightforward. So even though I was just a young devotee, I went up and I said, excuse me, but in private. I didn't have to chant. I didn't swallow that one. And then he said, look, let me tell you the way I am. If it's time to go to Mangalarti at 4:30 and the telephone rings, you know what I'm going to do. I'm answering the telephone. Excuse me, I gotta get home. So yes, that misunderstanding even creeps up today. You think that we've all learned, but I was just discussing with one of my godbrothers how we had hopes that the younger devotees wouldn't imitate so many mistakes that went on in the past, but we're starting to see they don't ask, they don't listen, and a lot of the same mistakes are repeated. So we still see that happening. Oh, I'm not into chanting, you know, but when it comes to service, I'll be right there. But as the Shastra warns, if you don't chant Hare Krishna, you will fall down. Because chanting Hare Krishna is the basis of all service. Therefore, unless you have finished your rounds, you should consider yourself to be in a diseased state. That was the conclusion of Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya asked, how are you today, Haridas? First, Haridas Thakur said, how am I? Just whatever mercy you care to bestow on me, that's my good fortune. And then he said, actually, I'm not well, because I haven't finished my rounds. And so, Prabhupada takes advantage of that point in the Leela to tell us that if you have not completed your rounds, you should consider yourself in a diseased condition of life. Now, how many times do we have to hear that? Therefore, the stress in the Shastra is about hearing and chanting. And also, of course, there are practical activities. They're all one and the same. It's true, if you're typing something related to devotional service, you're also chanting. Prabhupada would explain it on himself when he's talking into a dictaphone, speaking his books. That's also chanting, but still he also chanted his japa. I told you before how once he was chanting his japa, and then suddenly he just put his bead bag down and said with emphasis, there, I finished my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing. He's setting an example. Now, it is true that in Prabhupada's final month in this world, he was not chanting japa. It's true. He's about to leave. At the same time, there's no question of his absorption in Krishna consciousness. Up until the final breath, he left in the middle of the word Krishna in his mouth. Unfortunately, the same mistakes go on. All right, you feel that you don't have any taste for chanting, but there's so many other things you can do for Krishna service. Fine, don't take initiation then. If you take initiation, you've promised wanted his Western dog honor. I promised, but that was 5 years ago. Circumstances have changed. No, you promised. There are going to be people who can render great, valuable service. Practical things, helping with the government, helping with finances, so many things, but they don't like to chant. Okay, fine. Help, but don't take initiation. If you take initiation, you have to stick to your vows. Otherwise, it's an offense to Krishna. It's totally dishonest. That is the point. So to keep us from neglecting the overarching importance of hearing and chanting about Krishna, the Shastra makes the point like that. Although it's a fact, all devotional service is equal. Hearing is as good as massaging the feet of the Lord. It's as good as praying. Still, Shravan Kirtan Vishnu is the basis. This is why devotional service requires guidance. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Increasing your hearing and chanting doesn't simply mean quantity, it also means quality. And even if you increase by 15 minutes, isn't that an increase? 15 less minutes of wandering in your mind? Impossible, right? Don't have that time, right? You'll always find time. It's amazing how much time we spend on the mental platform, thinking this, thinking that. You can also increase your heartfelt dedication to devotional service. How much you put your heart into your service. There's always some way you can increase. If you can't see it, then ask for advice. You might say, well, my salary is limited. How much? I can't give any more money. I have to pay my rent, this, that, the other. So how can I increase? My time is limited. No, you'll always find a way to increase it. If not this way, then that way. Have the attitude, it's possible. And then beg Krishna, you show me. I know it's possible. I can't see it. You show me. That is bhakti. Yes? Unfortunate situations. Very unfortunate situations. As long as the devotee sticks properly to Krishna's instructions, then Krishna uses the devotee. But if over a period of time a devotee does not stick, then the devotee loses any value that he or she had. So, but mercy is coming from Krishna, not the devotee. The devotee is like the cloud that gathers water from the ocean and sprinkles it on the dry land. If there's a problem with the cloud, it doesn't mean there's a problem with the ocean. The water will come on the dry land another way. Just like when I was a young devotee, I was explaining yesterday, you weren't here. Locker door, where Prabhupada was expressing his sadness about one of his leaders who was in a bit of trouble. Prabhupada said, I'm very sad to hear these things. I've given you such a big chance to be prominent in Lord Chaitanya's line, but now you're disappointing me. But that's all right. I know Lord Chaitanya will send me the right persons to assist me. If not you, somebody else. So we have to see how it is that Krishna will still take us back to God. If you want to see that, you'll see it. It'll definitely be there. Krishna doesn't shortchange anyone. In fact, he'll always give you more. You just have to be on the lookout for it. And it does require determination to go back to God. So in those unfortunate situations, one should know that Krishna will help. And in, it's also a fact in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada still plays a very prominent role. You weren't here yesterday. We were talking about one dream one young devotee had here in New Zealand. So many young devotees have had dreams of Srila Prabhupada, very intimate dreams. It's different than other mosques. So in Krishna Consciousness Society, it's kind of, you're dealing with a double reality. You're dealing with your spiritual master, and you're also dealing with Srila Prabhupada as a founder acharya. That's not just some kind of ritualistic statement. Founder acharya, he died. It's actually a spiritual reality, and we're all finding that out more and more. So you really get an extra layer of protection. So many devotees, grand disciples of Prabhupada, have had what they feel a very close moment with Srila Prabhupada that they can never forget. One devotee in Poland told me, young devotee, Sankirtan devotee, he was dreaming of Prabhupada. He was saying, Prabhupada, no one wants to distribute books anymore. What's going to happen? Prabhupada told him, you tell all the Sankirtan devotees, anyone who distributes my books, I'll personally take back the guy here. That's one service. It's not the only service you can offer to Krishna. I'm telling you these examples because they're very common, but so many young devotees who are pracharis, doing dedicated service very seriously, they've had very touching moments with Srila Prabhupada. So it's a double reality. You can't ignore your spiritual master and say, you know, be a ritvik, it's all Prabhupada. Nor can you ignore Srila Prabhupada. It's a double reality, which gives an extra layer of protection. And we're seeing as the years go by that that double layer of protection is what has allowed this kind to go on through all the storms that are a normal part of preaching in the material world. So it's not just a ritual. You know, Prabhupada ki jai, founder acharya ki jai. No, it's actually a spiritual reality. So in those unfortunate circumstances, I'm understanding more and more, I can see it, that still Srila Prabhupada is there making arrangements. We were speaking yesterday about how many leaders now are understanding this is a special time. Anyone who wants to do something for serious for Srila Prabhupada's movement, they'll get the chance. It's bargain time now. Everything's being handed out. Special sale. You want it, you get it. This happens periodically in ISKCON. It happened while Prabhupada was present. Every once in a while, he'd shake the rug. Okay, this guy disappointed me, that one disappointed me. Who's ready for action? It happens periodically. This is one of those times now. Everything's on sale. You can wonder. So then, new blood comes in, and we hope that some of them will learn from things that were done in the past during the early days of Krishna consciousness when we didn't know any better. We hope that the new ones will learn how to get along with each other. How to appreciate devotees. You see, when ISKCON first started, we were all just young. There was no precedent. There was no bhakti outside of India. So no, you know, we didn't know how to treat each other, you know. Everyone was just competing with each other. Who's going to get to be with Prabhupada? So you'd climb over your fellow devotees. I got to be with Prabhupada. Get out of my way. It took a while for that to, you know, die down. It took a while for it to dawn on us that, hey, this isn't really pleasing to Prabhupada, you know. So we hope that the younger devotees will learn to not do that, to appreciate each other, serve each other. Of course, those older devotees who are left, most of them, I can tell you, they're very serious about associating with each other. This one devotee was asking me this very question you asked. Like, in other words,
well, we heard that there's a problem with this
those problem situations, problem persons, they did not know how to associate with their God brothers. In each case, associating with your God brothers is a bit humiliating, you know? It's great to just be on your own and be the supreme good. All glories to me. And of course, your disciples will tell you the same things. Jai Guru Maharaj, all glories to you. You are the sun, you are the moon. But as soon as you start associating with your God brothers, and then you become humble. Oh, he was pretty fired up. Wow. Listen to that. And then you begin to more and more realize your humble position. Of course, it's amazing. The other devotee is thinking, wow, he's pretty fired up. That's what happens when all the devotees associate. Each one is thinking, I'm nothing compared to that one. But that one's thinking, I'm nothing compared to him. So in this kind of mood, it produces very wonderful, loving exchanges. So we're seeing more and more that those leaders who are serious about going the distance and serious about carrying the burden of having disciples, they associate with each other very closely. They go out of their way to see each other. Whereas in the 70s and 80s, who do I want to see him for? I got my own thing. He's got his thing. Not like that now amongst the survivors. We go out of our way to have kirtan together, to associate together. It's like I went all the way to Kazakhstan in the middle of nowhere to be with Bibi Govinda Maharaj for 2 weeks. And that's the way it happens. Every case, those who had problems didn't have to associate with their God brothers. They had some great success even for a while, but they couldn't maintain it because they hadn't learned the value of loving exchanges with their God brothers. In other words, they hadn't properly taken advantage of all the facilities that Srila Prabhupada's given in a society that's meant for sadhu sangha. That's why Srila Prabhupada didn't want this independent mosque system, which each one has its own scene. First of all, it's very dangerous. Secondly, you miss out on all the loving exchanges you can have with devotees, your fellows. The association of devotees enriches you, enlivens you. Of course, there are differences, but those differences become relishable. That is a very key point. It's like, before I came, when I was in Wellington, Indra Maharaj was tracking me down. He found out my secret phone number, not my mobile. Hey, how come you go everywhere and you don't come to where I am? It's all right. So, this is what goes on these days. It's a big difference. I don't know if many devotees know that, but this whole thing about each senior devotee being a world unto himself, you know, I got my regime, my Raj, and it's not like that now. There's fraternization on the so-called highest level. There's great fraternization and camaraderie going on in most cases. And those who went down, they don't do this. They didn't do it. And it's very difficult carrying a load of disciples. Without disciples, you're sprinting back to Godhead, and all of a sudden you get this load on your shoulders. Yeah. You have to have the association of devotees to nourish you. Tamal Krishnaraj was great for associating with his fellows. Before I came here, before I left India, November 28th, I had a great time with Lokanath Maharaj. I was staying at a house in Delhi. He called. Next minute, you know, phone rings. You know, one devotee from Delhi, Lokanath Maharaj, wants to go over to breakfast. I'm sure. Are you going to visit town? So he just arrived. ride for breakfast. We had a nice time. This is the way it's going on these days. Which wasn't like that in the early days of ISKCON. I don't want him over for breakfast. This is my scene here. Who's he? I don't want my disciples seeing that I honor anybody else. They might get confused. Really, that's how they used to think back then. I'm serious. If my disciples see that I honor someone else, they may lose respect for me. Yeah, it's like that. It's not like that now. I was saying 97% of cases of leaders we have now, they really love the benefits of fraternization and association, hearing and chanting together. And they view it as an utmost necessity. That's the big difference. Anything else? Yes? Enough? You got all that done? Sounds like enough for a lifetime, yes? What more can I tell you? Play the drum in here time. You've heard about Nusino play your African drums? Naturally, there'll be some hesitation. It's like in any personal relationship. Suppose you found out, of course it won't happen, but suppose you found out that your husband was kind of, looking at somebody else. Nothing happened, but he was kind of looking at somebody else. You know, you walked by in a hallway and he was... Now, you wouldn't like... say it was the end, but you'd be a little, until he, I'm sorry, I'm going to show you that, where my heart is really at. And after a while, you'd relax. But for a while, it would be a little tough at home, wouldn't it? Yeah, here I am cooking with this guy, and he's eyeing somebody else. He tells me, don't worry, it was just a stray moment. You call up your girlfriend, what do you think? What do you think about this? I don't know. You better wait and see. So for a while you would be a bit queasy. That's natural if that happens to you. Of course, you show that. That's the thing. But it would be queasy if it happened. But if indeed he shows that that was just a stray moment, this is where I'm really at. After some time, you would feel relieved. So in fact, that's what Narahari Sarkar advises in his Shastra Krishna Bhajanamrita. You wait and see. And you may need some help to wait and see. So that's also a strong option. You may need to get some help. In fact, that's recommended. While holding on to your relationship, you may need some help to go through the queasy times. Anything else? Another one? Yes.
Sorry, just on the same thing. When we think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's Amala, he's completely pure. There's no trace from everything.
So are you.
Some type of impurity. So how do we understand those two things?
What kind of impurity are you talking about?
You're giving the example that the they may say that, you know, this is where I'm really at and have some difficulty or something. That was the example you just gave. So I assume you're talking about the relationship with the guru. If there's some difficulty, then that person who's...
It happened. It has happened.
So how do we see on the one hand, because, you know, if we come at the beginning of the
process... You see that this is Krishna's process. And you're doing what Krishna wants. Therefore, Krishna will take care. You are accepting Krishna's process. It's not my process. It's not your process. Krishna wants things done a certain way. You do things Krishna's way, there's no loss. You'll see that sooner or later. So, Krishna has a personal way of doing things. He says, come to me through my devotee. If you follow Krishna's instructions, you're not to blame. And in fact, if there's any problem, Krishna will pay out double. You just have to stick around to see that. So it is unfortunate, but then again, Krishna gives you all the information you need to pass any test before you encounter the test. We don't feel that way, of course. But, oh, this is too much. So in those unfortunate situations, Krishna has to take care, because it's Krishna's system you're following. Krishna says, see like this. This is how you see it. You take Krishna's instructions because Krishna said, and then let the chips fall where they may. It's not a suicide path, because if you did Krishna's will, Krishna will take care of you. So this is personalism. We're doing things because Krishna asked us. We're seeing things a certain way because Krishna asked us to see that way. That is the point. That's the crux of the situation. It's a completely different mentality, I know, from what we're accustomed to in mundane life. Krishna says, see a certain way? All right, I'm seeing that way. Come what may. Then Krishna will take care of you. It's personalism. You've taken the trouble to see things my way, you're thick and thin, I'm taking you back to Godhead. That is what goes on. So tomorrow we'll be speaking about love and lust, and indeed how Krishna says, sometimes I deliberately put my devotees in situations just to increase their loving ecstasy for me. We'll be discussing that tomorrow. You can't understand these things unless you can see that bhava, development of ecstatic love for Krishna, is the wealth of life. If you think something else is the wealth of life, you'll get bewildered by all this. But if you understand what is the proper treasure, then you'll agree how sacrificial.